Welcome to Singled Out, the podcast for Christian singles of all ages. Singled Out is brought to you by the Fundamental Baptist Singles Fellowship. You can find us on the web at fbsingles.wordpress.com, or you can email us directly with any of your questions and comments at fbsingles@aim.com. And now, here's today's program. Hello and welcome to another edition of Singled Out. I'm your host, Pastor Kevin Thompson. And this series of podcasts is leading up to our great Baptist Singles Conference, our second annual Baptist Singles Conference here at North Baptist Church in Brockton, Massachusetts. July 1st is the date. Mark that on your calendar. The registration fee is only $20, and I hope you'll get that in. To register for the conference, all you've got to do is send us your name, your church address, your church and your church address. Mail that off to Baptist Singles Conference, North Baptist Church, 899 North Main Street, Brockton, Massachusetts, 02301. Or you can give us a call at 508-580-1400. That's 508-580-1400. Let us know, and let us know that you're coming to the conference. We'd love to see you there. And you can still register that very day if you need to. We'd at least prefer that you call ahead. And just to let us know, even if you can't send in the registration that day, just for planning purposes, that would be wonderful to have that knowledge ahead of time so we can prepare properly. But this is going to be just a great conference. We have several different speakers lined up. Our keynote speaker is Pastor Brad Wilkinson. He's the singles pastor at Bethel Baptist Church in Schaumburg, Illinois. Formerly, he was on staff there at Pensacola Christian College, taught several Bible classes there. He's been a blessing to my heart. He'll be a blessing to yours. Come on out and listen to what he has to say. We also have Pastor James Wilkes and his wife Mary from New England Baptist Church in West Bridgewater, Massachusetts. They'll both be doing some from workshops. Also, we have Pastor Roger Maxwell, the pastor over at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Keene, New Hampshire. He did a great job for us back in October at our Singles Fellowship here at North. We also have Pastor Bob Alleman, who's the assistant pastor at Trinity Baptist Church in Concord, New Hampshire. I know he'll be doing a great job, so come in and listen to what he has to say in his workshop. And, of course, we have Evangelist Edward Jasanis, formerly my pastor. Now he's working in evangelism with Jasanis Family Ministries. And if you want to find out more about that, come on and he'll let you know. I'm sure he will. But he'll be doing a great workshop that I'm looking forward to listen to. And I hope you're looking forward to it. We have a lot of things planned, some special music. We have a lot of food planned for you. So come on out. It's all included in your price of $20. Register real quick. Well, this afternoon, or this evening, whenever you happen to listen to this podcast, we have a great message for you from last year's conference. And this is delivered by Pastor Steve Hathaway of the Heritage Baptist Church in Norwood, Massachusetts. In fact, I'll be speaking there at Heritage this Wednesday, June 21st. If you're in the area, feel free to stop by. But this sermon is not delivered at Heritage. It was delivered over at the Galilean Baptist Church where we had our last year's conference. And this was delivered during our men's session. The title of the message is The Pursuit of Marriage. The Pursuit of Marriage. This will be a blessing to you. Give it a listen.
Genesis chapter 2. What we're going to do right now, I had debated preparing a handout for our lesson this morning for our class. Dear Pastor Thompson, what time are we closing here?
11 o'clock.
All right, 11 o'clock. That's plenty of time. All right, I considered giving out a handout that may have helped guide us along in our study this morning, but I didn't have time to put that together, so we're going to begin a journey now. The journey we are going to take, I will give you a little bit of an idea where we're going. The title of our topic of discussion this morning is The Biblical Pursuit of Marriage. Now, I want to begin here. We're going to have a word of prayer. Now, as we pray, we pray for specific reasons. Often before somebody gives a topic, whether preaching or a teaching, it is a custom in our circles to pray to the Lord. Well, men, we need to pray specific this morning because we want to pray that God will use the Word of God to show us something we may never have seen or ground us in those things that we already know. So our prayer is very specific, and let me tell you this, our prayer is difficult this morning because without question, some of you are going to disagree with great fervor over what I'm about to share with you. So I'm going to be very specific. I know that some may take exception. So we're going to begin here in the book of Genesis, and we're going to begin a journey of maybe it'll be fairly confrontational, but you may disagree, but here's the point. It's not that I'm not here to make disciples after me. I'm not writing any books. God already wrote the book. I'm here to just simply be an administrator to teach what the Bible says. If you leave this morning and you say that's what the Bible says, well then if you have a problem with what I'm going to say, take it up with the Lord. If I'm teaching from the Bible, you have a problem, I'm going to say, don't come to me, because I assure you that last night in the depths of the darkness I snuck into no one's room and wrote any of this in your Bibles. The truth is, most of this was written long before any of us were ever born. I'm not responsible for this. This is the Word of God. These are God's words, and I'm here to outline, let's begin a map here of how to biblically pursue marriage. Let's pray this difficult prayer right now. Dear God, Father, I pray that you'd help each one of us. Lord, without question, each of the men here are already displaying their sincerity in being here this morning. And Lord, we all, as Christian men, desire to know what your word teaches. Lord, we want to do things right. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us the understanding from the Bible this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Before we enter into the realm of controversy, let me begin by laying some very basic foundations. We want to understand what marriage is. First, let me just make a couple of notes. I'll go back to this. Marriage is created by the Lord, or marriage was created. The institution of marriage, God created it. It is natural and it is normal. God created you. Unless God has given you the desire to not have marriage, which would be an exception, if you desire marriage, you are normal. That is a desire from the Lord. It is normal to desire marriage. It's normal. That's the way God made you. Now, through any number of circumstances, most of you men may be married. Some of you may not be, depending on what God's specific will would be. But to desire marriage is not sinful. Our purpose this morning is going to be to lay out the ground rules of the scriptural principles as to what is the biblical way to acquire that which you desire for, that which you're trusting maybe God's will for your life. To begin with, we need to understand the very origin of marriage, and this is not an unimportant point. I'm going to lean heavily on this point when I get into my more controversial material. Look at chapter 2 of the book of Genesis, verse 18. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, it says this. It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him," or that is the word meet means a help that will be suitable for him. Come with me now, look at verse 22. "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore," now here's the portion of marriage, "therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now, very important basic observation is something that is new to no one this morning, and that is that God is the author of the institution of marriage. Because God is the author of the institution of marriage, remember now, his authorship of marriage means that he sets the rules. In our society today, people clamoring for gay marriage and a polygamy marriage or whatever. Listen, God sets the rules for what marriage is to be. And if you feel, remember I started by saying it is not a sin to desire marriage. God created you to desire marriage. Look at verse 18 for a proof text. Don't take my word for anything. Just because your experience may agree with what I said, that doesn't make it true. It needs to be in the Word of God. Look at verse 18. "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone." Notice that God doesn't exaggerate. God is not carried around in misguided emotion. No, God viewed Adam and said, you know, it is not good for him to be alone. And so to desire marriage is something normal. It's a desire. Listen, man, it's from the Lord. It's from the Lord to desire marriage. But we're going to switch gears here a little bit. It's very important for us to understand that marriage has a purpose, and it has a spiritual purpose in that it is a picture. Come with me to the New Testament scriptures, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. What we're about to share from Ephesians verse 5, 25, again, may be new to no one, but you have to bear with me here because the strength of every argument I'm about to make is going to be based off of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Notice what it says here. Now let's begin reading chapter 5, verse 25. Book of Ephesians. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Come with me now down to verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Have we read that this morning already? You recall that's a quote from the book of Genesis of the institution of marriage. This, verse 32, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, this is very important. God, when He created the worlds, God has instituted within creation certain relationships that have a spiritual purpose. Let me start with a relationship that has nothing to do with our study this morning. You understand, of course, that God, in His creative order, God created the parental relationship. We would understand it as a father-child relationship. It's interesting that God did that because we would later learn in scriptures that believers were to address God with what parental name? Calling Him the Father. Now, that's very important because what we understand here is that though there is an earthly physical relationship that we may have with our fathers, that relationship is really a picture or is intended to be a picture of the greater spiritual reality. And that is that my relationship with my dad on earth should be an illustration of my relationship with my heavenly Father. Now, there are some problems with this, aren't there? Because a lot of us had deadbeat fathers. And some of us may have had fathers that were not scripturally what they needed to be. So there are, in our world today, there are examples where I know as a pastor, sometimes I will share with people, I'll say, you know, God is a loving God. I remember sharing Christ leading a man to the Lord years ago who had a hard time understanding God's love for him because he had never experienced love in this world. And so it was difficult for him to fathom the loving nature of God as Father in his life. Well, our sin can destroy the picture of what the father relationship is meant to convey. Same thing with marriage. Here in Ephesians chapter 5, we see that marriage is intended to convey a relationship. What is marriage to be a picture of? You saw it in the text there. A relationship between Christ and the church. And let's be more specific. Marriage is intended to be a picture of the relationship between Christ and the believer. There are many parallels. Often when I'm preaching at a wedding, I will share a number of these points just to go quickly. You know, there are so many parallels between a marriage relationship and our relationship with Christ. One is that a marriage relationship involves a mutual commitment. Isn't that right? It involves a commitment on the part of the male. It involves a commitment on the part of the female. You know what? The Bible says, but God commended His love toward us in this. Now, while we're at sin, as Christ died for us, has Jesus Christ made a commitment to the sinner? And demonstrate, of course He has. But, you know, there also requires a commitment from the sinner, doesn't it? But to many has received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even though they believe in His name, John 1:12. So, in our marriage, now, here's what we understand. You're actually learning a lot about marriage, though some of us aren't married here. If you know Christ as your Savior, you know quite a bit about marriage. Because marriage involves a mutual commitment, and so does it salvation. So does it being brought into a relationship with Christ. There's also another, I would call it a sermonic point. Nobody is born married, are they? No. A marriage begins at a specific moment in time. It is a relationship that is entered into on the basis of that mutual commitment by the two parties. Same thing with a relationship with Christ, isn't it true? Yeah. Nobody's born into this world a Christian. Nobody's born to this world with a relationship with a Savior. No, they enter in at a specific moment of time. The analogies and the symbolisms go on. But one thing we know for certain is this. Men, some of you in here, maybe all of you, at one time in your life, will be married. When you are married, this marriage, it's going to be an evangelistic opportunity for you to be married. Because your marriage, when it's done right, when you have a biblical marriage, it is a testimony to the world about what salvation is. Someday you'll be fathers. When you're married, you'll be dads. Some of you are dads already. You got to remember this. Your position as a father is a testimony and should be a testimony, if you're a biblical father, of God the Father's relationship with his children. And so the pictures go on and so forth. Now, let's get into a little bit more of the nitty-gritty here. How does the recognition that my pursuit of marriage, remember, we're pursuing marriage here. You have the desire. God gave you the desire. In some way, I hope that each one of you are open to the possibility of marriage. There are no age limitations on marriage. Anyone, God could call you to be married at any time. I hope that every one of you are considering that it could be, marriage could be in the future. So in a sense, you may be pursuing it. Maybe some of you right now are in a relationship that you're pursuing marriage. Understand what you're pursuing. You're pursuing to enter into an institution that is intended to be an evangelistic testimony of what it is to know Christ as Savior. Now, that being the case, I want to turn to some societal ills of our day. The problem is, men, is this. We are products of our society. And living in our society today, there are some real distortions as to how an individual goes from being single to married. And I want to share with you some of these distortions. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians 1:10. 3:10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Now, the one thing I want to mention before I read this Philippians passage, I want you to understand something here. In the way, when I use the term dating, or you can call it anything you want, dating, courtship, whatever you want to call it, let's just refer to it as this. That process by which you would go from single to married. I mean, how do you get from here to there? I mean, how do you get there? Well, the first problem in our society that you need to be careful that you don't fall into is don't fall into this, as was vividly illustrated in this morning's general session. Remember, never use romance as a substitute for a growing relationship with Christ. Now, let's be specific here. Didn't God say, as he surveyed the heart of Adam, did not God say it is not good for man to be alone? Isn't it from that text of Scripture, can't we make a scriptural case that it is natural, normal, scriptural, biblical, to have a desire for marriage? Isn't that true? There's a problem. The problem is that sometimes people fall into a rut. These waves of depression can come across somebody, and they're not married. And they're feeling an emptiness in their heart. And they begin to look and say, oh, if I only was married, if I only could find a spouse, then my depression would go away. Then I'd find... Because listen, you should have a desire for marriage. The problem is that when a Christian gets their eyes off the Lord, then what they don't realize is they really need more of Christ in their life. Listen, God created you. The parallels between marriage and the relationship with Christ are many. Let me give an example. As you are right now, God created you to be married. That's why you have that desire. You know, and they say there's an emptiness in your life. In a sense, there's an emptiness in the life of a single person, in a measure, to be married. And marriage would fulfill that. But understand, that's just an illustration. That emptiness on a small level. It's not an emptiness, as Paul vividly outlaid in the book of 1 Corinthians. It's not an emptiness that will destroy the joy in your life. But what it is this. It's the idea that there is a need for marriage. There is a place for marriage in your life. In the same way, for the sinner, there is a need in the sinner's heart for God. And now, which is the greater need, by the way? It's the sinner's need for God. Because the marriage is just an illustration of that. When you're a Christian, you need to grow in your relationship with Christ. And if you're not growing in your relationship with Christ, what is going to happen is you're going to begin to feel an immense loneliness come upon you. And that loneliness is not because you need a wife. God's not the author of that loneliness. The problem is many people seek to use romance as a substitute for a growing relationship with Christ. Listen, God created you as a believer to desire Him, to need Him, to grow in your relationship with Him. If you're not growing in your relationship with Christ, there's going to be depression in your life. There's going to be emptiness in your life. But Christ is what you need. You will have a desire for marriage, but listen, the problem is that there are some people that in their singleness, they begin to have a loneliness come in, And it gets bigger and greater and greater. And I'm really just sharing from my personal testimony on this. The years that I was single were very difficult. I had an immense desire for marriage. A loneliness that could be felt. It was just a tremendous desire. I felt like I was missing something. Boy, I wish I heard that message you preached, brother, this morning. I wish I heard that years ago. I can't stand up before you and tell you that my years of singleness were years of bliss. They were years of abject misery to be single. Do you want to know why they were miserable? And I missed out on great opportunities for service. And I'll tell you why they were misery to be single. Because the need that I had, I felt the need in my life, and I thought it'd be filled with women, and I wasn't looking to Christ. And friend, you know what happened? Let me tell you something happens. You need Christ. And if you pursue marriage with an inordinate desire, I need it, I can't live without it, you'll get married someday. And guess what? The misery remains. It remains. You see, because you're looking for that, that's not what's going to satisfy it. You need Christ, more of Christ. Jesus Christ made you as a believer to need Him. And this is the peril that so many people run into. You know, it goes into this. You know, let's talk about pornography for a second. You know, the issue of pornography. You know, pornography isn't really a sexual sin as much as it is a sin of wanting that which God has not given to you. That's more of what pornography is. And what happens if you get connected and hooked onto pornography, it's not just being married is not going to take that away. The truth is you're going to need more pornography and more. Because the essence of pornography, the sin of it, is not, oh, I just need sex. The essence of it is I want what God has not given me. That's the essence. And then ultimately it comes down to the believer's relationship with the Lord. Friends, you need Christ.
Amen.
You need to grow, whether you're married or single, divorced, widowed. You need Christ. And the danger is this, is never use a romance to be a substitute. You know what I see with teenagers a lot? None of us here are teenagers here. But you know what I see with teenagers? Oh, some of you guys are. All right. Not all you. You guys are accepted from this. You know what happens? Look at this. They're 12 years old. 13 years old. They need to be in a relationship. They need it, don't they? 12, 11 years old. They're on the phone all the time. Talking all they need. They can't function. Listen, when I was a little kid, I played with G.I. Joes. That's what I needed. For them, they need a relationship. They're sexually active, by the way, too, when they're 12, 11, 10 years old. They're out having sex and with many partners. They need it. They need it. You know what they need? You know what they need? A relationship with mom and dad. That's what they need. And a lot of times what happens, this is with young kids, is that their fathers weren't there for them. They don't have a relationship with their mom. They don't have a relationship with dad. And there's an empty void in their life. And all they're simply doing is they're seeking in the lap of another boy what should have been the intimacy that should have been enjoyed with their father. All right, the emotional intimacy. And you know, believers do the same thing. We do the same thing. We need to be in a relationship. We need a girl. We need that. Friends, you need Christ. And if you go down the road where you were to say, all right, listen, I'm gonna make the emphasis of finding a spouse to be my most important thing. I'm just telling you right now, you don't know misery yet. You don't know misery. You think being single is bad? Oh, listen, I counsel married couples all the time. I don't talk about misery because you're in a relationship when you're not right with the Lord. Or your spouse is right with the Lord. You haven't known misery yet. You say, but I'm a martyr. I'm 25, 35 years old. I'm still single. I'm a martyr. Listen, you don't know martyrdom. Wait, you get at least you guys can pick up and move someplace else. You get into a marriage that goes sour when God's not the center. And I'll tell you about misery. Misery. So make sure that you have a growing relationship with Christ. Now, should you have a desire for marriage? Yes, yes. But don't make that desire morph into something that it is not. You need Christ. Look at Paul's words in Philippians 3:10. Here Paul is going on a discourse talking about his former lifestyle in Judaism. He counted it all but dung. It was all worth compared to the majesty of Christ. And he says this, a very puzzling phrase nestled in these words. He says, that I might know Him. In the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. What's interesting is that first phrase. Paul, listen, was Paul a believer? He was. Do you think Paul was a spiritual guy? I mean, he walked with the Lord, probably did his devotions every day, probably read in the Bible, read the Bible in the morning, read the Bible at night, and he still, oh, that I might know him. That I might know. He still had the desire for knowing God. Listen, I remember when I first read the Bible through, I read it through and said, all right, I'm all done. I didn't know you were supposed to still read it anymore. Listen, we need to know him more. If you think you know him now, praise the Lord, know him more. You need to grow in your love for Him. And that's a desire that we need to nurture in our lives, that we're growing. Never use romance as a substitute for Jesus Christ. You need, listen, I'm just telling you the way it is. Because if you ever set romance as a substitute, it's not going to work. It's just misery, destruction is in your future. All right, there's another problem with modern societal's view of modern dating. All right, look at Ephesians 5:25. We just were there. Go back. We're going to go to a number of scriptures here just to make a survey point through those scriptures. Ephesians 5:25, we're learning a lot about love here. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, let's talk about the first few words that comprise verse 25. What is Paul saying there? He's saying, first off, what would you guess here, men? We'll all be grammarians for a second. Is this a suggestion to love the wives? Is it a good idea maybe to love the wife? Or could it possibly be a command? It's a command. Listen, love is a commitment. You say you feel gooey about a girl. Listen, I have pizza later. When I see a big pizza, I get like that too. You know, listen, feeling, there is an emotional side to love, but love is a commitment. It's a commitment. It doesn't say, husbands, love your wives as long as she's still pretty. Let me tell you something. Something happens to women when they get older. Okay? You know? And if your relationship is built all off this is one thing I get a kick out of. And I was the same way. Just like you said. No ugly women. Just the very attractive ones. And the ones that are just all petite. And that's the only, listen, do you have any idea what happens when you have children? That all changes. They get old. They get old and fat, just like you. I mean, look in the mirror. You think we're strikingly handsome men? I mean, listen, let's just say our better years are behind us as far as looks. And the same thing happens with women. And the point is this. The problem with modern dating today is it has nothing to do. It actually, dating is dangerous in this. In that the modern way dating is done is it absolutely and irrevocably distorts what love is. Because love is a commitment. Hey, you walk into a room, you look at some women, say, oh, yeah, I like that one, I like that one. Bless God, Christ never did that with us, amen?
Oh, amen.
I'm thankful Christ never just tried. Listen, this is the problem with dating. Dating today is you're going to tie someone up. See, it works. Time out a little bit. Time out. You know, in the secular world, of course, I know you men would never do this, but in the secular world, they shack up. They live together for a little bit, just to make sure, you know, and just see if it works out. The experiment, dating is an experiment today. Just give someone a try. Didn't work out, cast them away. Let's find someone else to give a try to. Doesn't work out, cast away. My Savior didn't love me like that. Could you imagine, think about this, could you imagine the misery if Christ dated us before we were saved? I mean, how successful a Christian are you? I mean, you know, could you imagine what it would be like if Christ dated us for the probationary time was 5-year engagement with the Lord? You could say, you know, 5 years, he's going to try out if you don't make it. Listen, let's put it this way. You wouldn't be at a Baptist singles conference right now. That's for sure. Listen, the problem with dating is it completely distorts what love is. When you're married, that is a serious commitment that you make. And it's not you don't just love the person in as long as you have those gooey feelings. You are commanded to love them. And in other scriptures, wives are commanded to love their children, to love their spouses. Love is a commitment. And the problem with modern dating is that it distorts it. It makes it, modern dating, and remember, what is marriage? Marriage is going to be eventually a picture of the believer's relationship with Christ. I would submit this unto you. If Christ didn't date you, then I don't think you should be dating in the, I'm going to try someone out sense. Now, we're going to deal with, listen, you can call it whatever you want. I'm going to share with you before we're done how I believe biblically relationships should be begun. And we're going to get there. But the idea of just trying people out, that is absolutely foreign. Absolutely foreign. Now, my wife is very beautiful and she looks, my wife is in her 30s now. She looks like the day we were married. But listen, from what I understand now about the Bible, that's irrelevant. because my love, the way I treat my wife, has to be the same no matter what. I'm commanded to love my wife. And whether she gets in a car accident or her image is harmed or whatever, her face is destroyed, listen, it's all irrelevant because my marriage is about a commitment to love that person. The problem with this salad bar dating, you're going to try someone out, try another person out, it distorts what the picture of marriage is. And when couples enter into marriage with dating, with that contemporary sense of dating, the idea of trying someone out didn't work, and they try this person out, they think they're willing to give it a try for a little bit, that's why marriages don't work. Because they enter in. Why are people getting divorced all the time? It's simple. They dated 25 people before they got married, and now they're going to marry 25 people. And they'll date 25 people before they marry the next person. And it's just that no concept of biblical love. Now, what is love? We don't have to read Spock or other psychologists to know what love is. The Bible tells us what love is, and love is a commitment. It's a commitment, and dating can distort that commitment. It can distort what the meaning of love is. There's another problem with dating, or that is, if it's not done right now. You can call it whatever you want, courtship, whatever. There's another problem with it that you have to understand. This goes very much different from what the world would say. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. Matthew 5, verse 28. There's another problem that the modern way of dating, of beginning relationships in our day-to-day, the popular way, the way that some of you, those of you who are married in here, most likely did it wrong just like me. All right. This what I'm saying is, let's not do it the way I did it. Let's do it biblical. Let's do it right. Now, there's another problem with the way relationships are pursued today. The problem is this, is that dating or entering into a relationship unawares or in the wrong way is going to place you in dangerous temptation. Now, here's one of the problems with dating now. One of the problems with dating, you have to understand something about the intimacy of marriage. God's design for marriage is for the husband and wife to enjoy both physical intimacy and emotional intimacy. The two go together, all right? If you are physically intimate with your wife, you are emotionally intimate with your wife. You know what the problem with Christians dating today is? They seek to be emotionally intimate with an individual who is not their wife. They seek to split what God has designed to be in one package. Physical intimacy, emotional intimacy are one, and they're to be in marriage. And if you find yourself being involved emotionally with a girl who is not your wife, you are going to eventually fall physically into sin against the Lord. Because God did not create you. Now, understand now, God did not create you to be able to be emotionally intimate with a woman and not have sex with her. God didn't make you that way. And so if you're saying, this is one of the problems with dating today, particularly with teenagers, but not just with teens. They enter into these super intimate emotional relationships. Super intimate. I've never seen anything like it. They're just obsessed with each other, and they're into each other's minds, into their thoughts, places that only couples should go. And then they wind up, you know what they call, you know what they, there's a word for single people who involve in emotional intimacy. You know what the word is? Parents. That's the word for them. They become parents. That's what happens. Because God has never created you. God never created you with the capacity to make a dichotomy, to separate between being emotionally intimate and physically intimate. Look at what Christ says here in Matthew chapter 5, a very full common verse, verse 28. Christ says this in 5:28. He says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now, on another note, you mentioned, be aware of that sin. We often think of sin as far as it being in the action. I rob a bank when I actually take the money. I commit murder when I actually kill the person, because we're always looking in the physical aspect. The bar in Scripture is set. The Bible teaches that sin is a seed that germinates in the heart. And so you're guilty of murder just by thinking it in your heart. And the same thing is true with adultery. If you're in an emotional, intimate situation. Now, my wife and I, we were not physical before marriage. But I probably committed adultery 1,000 times with her before we were married. Before we actually were physically together. And what was I doing? I was sinning against the Lord. And only by the grace of God. Do you want to know why my wife and I would do? Because we didn't do it this way. Do you want to know why my wife and I didn't have intercourse before marriage? Because we had a very short engagement. That's why. That was the only reason why. And if the engagement went on any longer, we wouldn't have made it. We just barely made it. Do you want to know another reason why we made it? Because she lived in Canada and I lived in Massachusetts, and that made it difficult. That's the only reason, man. That's it. Because if you're, and this is the trap of the world. The trap of the world is they have their way of beginning relationships. Maybe you became a Christian later in life. Listen, this is the way we all did it. This is the way the world does it. They try people out. They try to get emotionally intimate with people, but they're not going to have sex with them. No, you cannot distinguish the two. You get emotionally intimate, you're going to be physically intimate as well. Having said all of that, you see here that Christ puts the bar right at this. If you are thinking it in your heart, you're guilty of that sin. So that's the other dating. Well, then here's the problem. Here's what we've learned. We've learned, one, that relationships with people, with women, should never be sought at the expense of a relationship with Christ. That desire you have, that if you are here this morning and you have an immense desire for a relationship, if you're a Christian, your desire, you need God. You need more of Christ in your life. You need to grow more. But it's natural to have a measure of desire for a spouse. Remember, God said, looked at man, it was not good for him to be alone. Now, having said that, then we saw the problem with modern courtship or modern dating is that it can distort what love is. Love is a matter of commitment. And it's not a matter of just trying people, experimenting with people. The last thing we saw here this morning was that dating can put someone into dangerous temptation. Listen, the Bible says in another place, it says flee fornication. And it's important to note, the Bible says flee it. Don't flirt with it, flee from it. And we're going to talk about this in just a moment. Now, let's deal with some guidelines to follow. You say, but Pastor, if the only way I've ever known to date is doing what you just said was wrong. Well, let's look and now. Remember, what can we then discern about dating and how to begin a relationship? Well, one thing, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's start to go deal with the positive. We've dealt with all the negative here. No one threw a chair and got into a rant. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, the context is not exactly dealing with relationship, with a marriage relationship or dating or anything like that. The context is actually dealing with participating with false religions and so forth. But there's an important principle to be gleaned from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? If you're a Christian today, listen, you need to make sure that in your pursuit of marriage, you need to find someone who would not be unequally yoked with yourself. Now, I want us to take this a step further than you may have ever heard it explained before. It's certainly true that a Christian should not be engaged in a relationship building with a female. You should not be seeking to be joined in marriage to an unsaved woman. All right, that's clear. We know that. But I'll go a step further. The Bible says you should not be unequally yoked. That is, if you have a heart for serving God, you need to find a woman who has the same heart for serving the Lord. Because there are a lot of Christians that if you are this morning, you have a heart for God. I know a lot of Christians that don't. And you have to make sure that if you're going to enter into a relationship, again, to just repeat what was said this morning, it was so very true. You know, we always look at the physical. That's our main objective. But we should be putting a lot more emphasis on the spiritual aspect of the spouse. Remember, love is all about commitment. It's all about a choice. You know, I do marriage counseling today much different than I used to. I don't even ask a lot of the questions I used to ask when I do premarital counseling. I just want to know if they love the Lord. Tell me now. I don't care about their family life. We'll talk a little bit about it, about what it was like for their mom and dad. And I'm afraid they don't care, because you know what they need to do when they get into marriage? They need to love each other. And it's going to be a spiritual matter. This is experience in my marriage all the time, everyone's marriage. There are times that I don't feel like loving my wife. There are times that I feel that she's wrong. There are times I feel that she's harming. There are times I feel like I am right, but I must love her. It is a command. It has nothing to do with anything but commitment. And so, listen, you need to make sure that when you enter into that relationship, you're finding a spiritual person to be involved with. That's the first thing. The other thing is, here's just a basic principle. Now, remember, the marriage is a picture of the relationship with Christ, right? And dating is the way to get from here to there, right? Well, don't be involved in dating or courtship if you can't be married. there's something in your life that means that you can't be married at this time, you guys are older. I say this for teenagers a lot. Young teenagers should not be dating. You know when it's time to start dating? Is when you can be married tomorrow. That's when it's ready. If you're in college and you feel like you don't think you should be married while in college, then do not date while you're in college. Because dating is for a purpose. Courtship is for a purpose. And the purpose is to enter into a permanent relationship. And people shouldn't be flirting with it. It is abominable to think of 10-year-olds dating. That is an abomination. 16-year-olds dating is an abomination. It's an absolute abomination. You know what they call 16-year-old couples who date? Parents. That's what they call them too. Do you want to know why? Because listen, God has made you a certain way. God has made all people a certain way. To desire the physical intimacy is God created physical intimacy. Its purpose is in marriage. And you should not be dating. You should not be pursuing relationships if you are not able to be married. As I look out here, you guys are all able. You all look like you're able, possibly. But if there's something in your life that makes you at this time not able to be married, you should not be pursuing relationships. I won't get into all the details here. I'm not someone who shies away from controversy. But I'll tell you right now, there are men in my church who I didn't even invite here. For the reason that I don't want them to see other single people. Do you know why? Because they are separated from their wives. I didn't tell them about it. I wouldn't allow them to come as their pastor. Why? Because right now, these men are in the process. I'm working with these men to be restored to their wives. And they're in the process of restoration. I'm not going to bring them here. They should not be here. You know, now when they are men in a situation where they are not divorced from their wives, they're in the process of being restored. So we're not going to bring them here. They shouldn't be here, and they will not be pursuing relationships at this juncture. They are seeking restoration. So for them, they shouldn't be here. So don't date if you can't do it, if you can't be married. All right, another one. Make sure you have pure thoughts. Listen, this is very important. Philippians chapter 4, 4:8. Philippians 4:8, you know, Philippians 4:8 is one of the most tremendous counseling passages in the Word of God. If you struggle with depression in any way, if you struggle with discouragement, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 really has to be a passage that you flee to regularly. Here's what it says. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The latter phrase says think, that here, meditate, concentrate. Now listen now. If you live your life just normal place like I do, and just outside of Boston and wherever you're from, and just a day from what? From just hearing television in the background, although that's another story, but I'd get rid of that. But if just listening to the radio, seeing billboards, how many pure things are being put into your mind throughout the day? Zilch, nothing. So if pure things, if you need to have pure things in your heart, you need to make an effort to put them there. That means you have to go out of your way to put purity into your life. And the Bible says here, gives the command that you need to meditate on good things, on pure things. Listen, if you know why I don't have a TV in my house? I'll tell you why. Because before I was married, I was very sexually active. And before I was living for the Lord, when I was a teenager, I was very with many partners. And you know what? I can't handle the temptation of television. I can't handle it. And listen, I am a sinner. I want to live for God. And I want to be faithful to my wife. You want to do it? No TV for me. No TV. Is that a sacrifice? No, because even sinners like me can get something done for the Lord if we just make some sacrifices, get some things out of there. And for me, I got rid of the television. I don't listen to ungodly music. I keep myself away from temptations. I don't let my eyes see it. I try to concentrate to put pure things in my mind. You know, let me just talk about this for a second. Listen, I had it explained this way to me in college. It's very interesting. In my experience, I've seen it to be true. If you have been sexually active in the past, you are going to be in tough shape. It is very hard to turn that off. Once your body is accustomed to being sexually active, you can't just switch that off. And you're going to have a great struggle. A great struggle. If you've been sexually active in your past, you need to do everything in your power to concentrate getting pure things in your mind. I say this from my experience in counseling. I found that on occasion, people who have not been immoral in their past they don't struggle with immorality like someone who has been immoral. It's the same way with you, but I'm talking whether it's been with a person or pornography, whatever it's been. If you have delved into that in the past, you need to be very careful, because you can't just shut that off now. And you have to make sure that you're putting pure things in your mind. Get purity in your mind. Listen, I can't imagine any environment that is a single person that you're in good shape watching any television at all. Listen, all of it is about sex. It's all about sex. Why do you need that? Does that help you? Do you feel good when you watch a television show and they glorify sex? You see those women in bikinis? Do you feel good about that, knowing that that's something you're desiring and you know you can't have it? You know what happens? It makes you bitter in your heart, is what it does, and it makes you miserable. So take some advice from me. Get rid of the thing. Get rid of it. Be radical. Do whatever it takes to live for the Lord. All you're going to do is bring misery to your life if you put yourself in before those things. Don't go to the beach. And stay away from the mall. Do whatever you have to do. Use the internet to surf online. But actually, the internet's another story. You don't have the internet. If you don't have the control there, listen, do whatever it takes. Make sure you get purity into your mind. Another point here, don't ever be alone or unaccountable with another woman. Never. As a pastor, as a Christian man, I want you to know, I never talk to women. I'm not alone with women. I'm alone with only my wife. And if I was single, when a woman comes to talk to me, you know what I do? I do this. I always try to keep a distance. Now that's because I'm in a married relationship. But even as a single person, don't ever be alone. Remember, I don't believe you should ever kiss either. Ever. Before you're married. Do you want to know why? Well, it's logical. God, kissing, any physical contact, it was designed to lead into physical intimacy all the way. And what people do is they flirt with it. They hold hands. They kiss. They do this. You know what they call couples that hold hands and kiss and hug? Parents. That's what they call them. Because you're not designed to work that way. And all you're going to do is frustrate yourself. Listen, I also believe in short engagements, too. By the way, very short engagements. But be very careful. Don't ever be unchaperoned. Don't ever allow yourself to get in that position. And, time is mostly done here, but we should at least look at this last text of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Just to make this point, although I think all of our experiences are probably in this room gathered together, would have already legitimized the point, is that you know to stay away from physical contact. But here's what it says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 says this. It says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." So you're not strong enough, all right? If you enter into physical touching or that, you're just not going to get it. And if you're going to have an engagement if you're going to get married in 4 hours after you meet the person, hold hands with them. But unless you're going to do that, don't do it. And besides, the most important thing in relationship building is this person going to be committed to you spiritually? Because remember, in the beginning of a relationship, everything is about appearance. And let's not play games. We know it is. And we can't stop it. I mean, it's great to be able to say, we're going to look at the women that aren't attractive too. But the truth is, that's not going to happen, okay? You'll just say they're not spiritual enough, is what you'll say. So you know that the beginning of relationships are going to be physical. That's God. That God's engineered that to some extent, that we would be attracted to someone. But remember, it's only temporary. It's only temporary. And you're setting yourself up for a world of hurt if you enter into a relationship based off the physical, because you're going to get fat and ugly. Some of you guys may already be there. She's going to get... Let's not talk about that. The women are here. They're just not going to be the same. All right? I knew a guy who was single who has great struggle with his singleness. And all that... And he actually has no inhibitions about telling you what he believes right now. In his opinion, the only thing that matters is physical appearance. He's not even concerned if they're a Christian anymore. And that's what he's become. He's been so... this message this morning is just about this one man. What happened with him is he was lonely. Well, God, it's not good for man to be alone. But then that loneliness began to morph and warp. And I wish he could have heard your message this morning, because he got a feeling that God was angry with him, that God was punishing him. And then so his anger then turned to the Lord. And now he has a tremendous void in his life. And you know what he's trying to find to fill that void? A spouse. And he looks nothing to the Lord. And it has corrupted him. It's absolutely corrupted him. And the most important criteria for him, he's now in his almost 40 years old. And you know what he's doing right now? He's looking for a woman in their early 20s. You want to know why? They're just physical. Just physical appearance. I've tried to explain to him. Do you have any idea what happens to a woman in her early 20s when she gets to be in her early 50s? Let's just say it's not the same anymore. But for this young man, everything is about the physical, and he's setting himself up for a great failure. You'd be better off never, don't ever be entering into something like that. Remember, spiritual things are the most important, because you need to find a wife that is going to be willing to love you when you're not so attractive anymore. You're going to need to find a wife that's willing to commit herself to you spiritually. I know that my wife is committed to me, not because I'm special. She's committed to me because of her faith in Christ. That's why she's committed, and that's what you need to find as well. Any questions? You guys have all the answers. Yes?
This isn't a question. This was a comment. I was interested. I do a lot of stuff on the internet, hours and hours a day. And there's a program that I use called Covenant Eyes. Some of you have heard of it, but it's not a filter. It's actually an accountability program. You can't get on the internet without logging in. And it's saved my life countless times. What it does is it tracks every place that I go and emails it to two people every week. One of them is my dad.
Wow.
And another is another brother in the Lord, and it rates the sites and stuff.
Wow.
It costs $7 a month, but for me it's worth it.
That's a great idea.
But I did want to mention that in the guy's session somewhere if anyone's interested.
That's a great idea.
Please.
Yeah, that's a tremendous idea. The world wants you to fail at this. Society wants you to be immoral. That's what they do, but that's not God's will for your life. God's will for your life is to have a happy marriage someday. If that is His will, God's will for marriages is that they're happy, that they produce godly children. That's God's will. If you follow society's ways, the common logic for dating, you're just going to mess it up terribly so. And you know, some people, like me, mess it up. And fortunately, by the grace of God, I have a wife that changed, I changed, we changed the way we looked at it, and I'm here today because we were able to change. But there aren't as many people up here where I'm at, because most people don't make it. Odds are you won't make it. If you enter into a relationship the wrong way, if you enter in and you're just not going to make it. It's just not going to work out. Most doesn't work out, ever. All right, let's close in a word of prayer. I will be with you again in just a short time after lunch. And we'll look at another fascinating portion of Scripture there in our general session. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank You so much. And Lord, we understand. Oh, Lord. God, it is living for You today is so difficult. And it's a challenge. And Lord, I pray for these men. Each one here, Lord, that we, all of us, myself included, Lord, that we would be godly. That we would not allow ourselves to be corrupted by the philosophy of the world. But that, Lord, we would be godly and living for You and to do things right. Lord, we don't always do everything right. But in the realm of this relationship building that is so serious, I pray that we would do this right. And Lord, I pray You'd give strength for the men here today. Give them strength, Lord, to get rid of that TV if they need to. Well, they need to, Lord. Help them to get rid of it. Help them to get the internet protection, Lord. We would pray and help them to find a woman who loves You and will help them in their walk with You. We pray in Christ's name, amen.
What a wonderful message. I hope we can take that to heart. Now, again, this was taken from the 2005 Baptist Singles Conference over at Galilean Baptist Church. Be prepared, get ready for the 2006 Baptist Singles Conference here at North Baptist Church in Brockton, Massachusetts. We're really praying you'll come out. Make sure to get your registration in on time. And we're really looking forward to seeing a great crowd there. And just a reminder, I will be speaking at the Heritage Baptist Church, where Pastor Steve Hathaway resides, and that's June 21st, this Wednesday. That's a Wednesday night service, so I hope you'll make it out for that as well. Well, thank you for joining us for this this podcast, and join us next week with another sermon from last year's Baptist Singles Conference. Again, don't forget about this year's Baptist Singles Conference. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to Singled Out, the podcast for Christian singles. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to check out our website, fbsingles.wordpress.com.